Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who do you blame the most for the Broncos 3-6 season so far? Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton, or the injury bug? And this is a big injury bug. This is, you can't ignore it, but it's, you know, if you say that's not the reason, I get it, but you can't ignore it. 5% of the hooligans think it's injuries. So no one's giving the Broncos a pass on this.
Yeah, I've kind of expected that with the injuries on both offense and defense. You got to look, okay, which unit is still playing well? And it's the defense. You know, even without Justin Simmons for a while there, without your corners, that your defensive linemen, linebackers, whatever, they're still playing top.
Yeah,
two defense.
They are subscribing to the next man up thing way better than the Broncos.
And I get offensive line. It's a huge thing. You have to have it for your offense. And that sucks. You don't have a good offensive line, you can't do a lot of else.
That's what I'm thinking, though. Like, how much do you take that into consideration? Does Greg Penner sit down and go, I mean, that was bad. That was just, I mean, really bad. So do we, and they're not, like, listen, they don't want to be the football guy. Walton doesn't want to be a football guy. You know, you're looking at Penner to handle the football operations and Damani Leach and all that stuff. Do they recognize enough on this to say, hey, the injuries were, I don't know that I've ever seen the Broncos, especially on the offensive line, this bad with injuries. Is that something where they do take into consideration? Texter here from Dixon. Fast forward to January and say maybe the Broncos win, say, 2 to 3 more games, if that. What will most say then? Especially if things kind of continue status quo with the offense. I think many will allow the injuries to be an excuse, but all teams have injuries. I don't think that you will. It won't be status quo. If you win, let's say you win 2 to 3 games. Let's say you beat the Raiders and you beat Carolina, and that's it. If your offense is still, you're not scoring 20, if you're still they're the worst offense in the league in terms of scoring. In terms of everything,
The
best defense. You have to look at it and say, if your offense is that bad, 2 to 3 more wins isn't going to change that. I don't believe. Because what are you at? 3 wins right now? You're thinking, the texter's thinking maybe you get to 5 or 6. I mean, that's what Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph were kind of doing. So do you give Hackett the same room that you gave them? And George Payton didn't give them that, though. Keep in mind, he fired Vic after, 7 or 8 wins, whatever they had, 7 wins last year. 6 wins is Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio territory. Is that livable for 1 year? You can't judge it off of wins. Let's say the Broncos win several more games. Let's say they get to 8. I don't know how they're going to do that, but let's say they get to 8. But they're still not. They're beating teams like 14-10.
If they get 2 more wins, like the Colts game, but they actually win, are you satisfied with the offense?
I don't think you can be, right? You have to look at that and say, okay, let's say they beat the Raiders, 14-10. They come out and beat Carolina, which I don't see the Raiders not scoring. I see the Raiders scoring way more than 10, probably in the 20s. Even with this bad thing, they're still scoring points.
What, 23 in the first game?
Yeah, they're still scoring points. As bad as, and we got to talk about that Josh McDaniels thing too. That's weird. But you can't look at that. Okay, let's say you beat Carolina. You got 17. You beat them 17-14. You beat Carolina.
So now that's like a field goal at the last second.
Yeah, you kick a field goal last second. 46 in hash, left hash. And you're what? That'd be 5-6? So you're 5-6. Hey, you're feeling a little bit better about life, tell you what. But then it's Baltimore.
Then it's KC.
2 to 3 more wins. Okay. 2 to 3 more wins? No. I mean, it doesn't. The win doesn't matter to me right now. You have to see production with offense. Let's say Denver. Because Denver, if they score, mark my words, if they score 20 in this game against the Raiders, they're winning. Guarantee it. Same with Carolina. If they score 20 in these next 2 games, not combined, then they will win. Okay? I have that much faith in this defense. So let's say they do that. Let's just lay it out. You go up against Baltimore and you lose 32-24.
It's an improvement.
Are you saying, and then you lose to Kansas City, let's say Kansas City goes off 40. They get 40. They go off on this defense. I don't see that happen. Let's just play it out. 40-21. And then who's next for Denver after that? So now you're back to 3-8. Or no, 5-8, excuse me. And then after the Chiefs game, it's the Cardinals. And you win.
Maybe.
21-17. And then you're at the Rams. Let's say you lose that, whatever. If you see let's just say you lose to the Cardinals though. Let's say that. Let's stay there. You've got two more wins, but you're seeing this offense put up points. Now your defense is getting a little shaky, but you're seeing the offense put up points. Two wins and your average went up. Is that an okay trajectory for the Broncos? Five wins and an offense that finally started going with about seven games remaining. Is that enough for George Payton to go and the Penner Group, Walton Penner Group to go, okay, we can see it. Let's go with it again.
Yes.
With all of it? With Hackett?
Yeah. If you can start getting up, even if you're still losing, which I could see the defense kind of falling back a little bit in the second half. We talked about, is there motivation there with this offense being as bad? Maybe the offense gets a little better. The defense relaxes a little bit. Hey, we can give up, 20 or so points. Our offense can go put up 25.
Yeah.
And if that is a trend that goes through the season, your offense catches up, your defense falls back a bit, and you're sitting right at the average at the end of the season, that's enough to give them another year.
I think you're right. I think that at this point, same with Colorado State. I'm not trying to compare everybody, but you want to see some positives. Now, they're not going anywhere with their coach, but you still want to see it at the end of the season. That's where you got to go. Well, County Swami, if the Broncos had a bad offense, they'd be 8-1. If they had a bad offense, they do have a bad offense. They've had to average 18 points per game, which is 3 points under the league average. I agree. It is a bad offense. Yeah, it's like historically bad. If the Broncos just could have got close to 20, yeah, we'd be talking about a lot of wins here. Just close to 20, man. That's it. Now, again, games change, and I get that. If you score 20, offensive scheme, your whole plan going forward changes. I get that. I honestly think we were just talking about Harry Potter during the breaks. Why not? What are the Death Eaters? What are the things that, what are Dementors?
Yes.
I think the Broncos are Dementors on offense. I think they're so bad, they suck the life out of another offense on the field. I'm not taking anything away from the defense, but I think it's such a crappy crap fest of a game that offenses are just like, this is so boring to watch even for us. Now we got to go out there and...
So they feel bad for the Broncos?
Or they're just like that
let's
negative...
Let's not make them look that bad. We'll be a little better, but still bad.
Or that negative energy is just like all over the field.
I could see that.
And it's just like, eh.
Well, you read body language. You see them on the side. Like, they're not even excited for a five-yard run. What's going on?
Look how bad everybody looks against Denver. And I'm not... This isn't a knock... Like, the defense is amazing. But look how bad everybody is against Denver. And then you see them go the next week. And it's like, watch, the Titans will probably go score, 21, 24 points.
Or they'll blow out the Packers tomorrow.
Yeah, that's exactly. You'll see Derrick Henry go off. Even Derrick's like, dude... You guys have problems. I'm just kind of like...
I am not going to run you guys over.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
Man. I mean, Eastside Chris, when Bronco fan... It's the age-old rabbit hole question of ever. What came first, the Wilson or the Hackett? Also, who's in charge of the nest? The Hackett came first. George Payton is in charge of the nest.
There you go.
When Bronco fans boycott Walmart and shops at Target... Maybe eyebrows will be raised. No, eyebrows are raised now. Trust me. This Walton Penner Group is going, what the hell did we just buy? Okay? And the NFL's even saying it. Dude, you're one of our trendsetters. You're one of the leaders in the NFL. You guys, what's going on?
They were the hype train the entire NFL this offseason.
Yeah. Oh, Will County Swami saying, wrong. They have a horrible offense. We just need a bad one. We're begging for a bad.
Okay.
He's saying we're not even bad. We're so bad we're not even bad. We don't even get to call ourselves bad. That's how bad we are.
That's an insult to bad teams.
Dixon saying bad would be an improvement. I get it. We didn't get it. We kind of got it.
No, we needed a little bit of a push.
Sometimes you need a little push.
Sometimes Broncos offense needs a little push.
A little push.
Maybe a shove.
The worst part of this, though, the absolute worst part of this is if Russ really is who we've been seeing. And why would we believe he's not? As much as I want this guy to succeed, now more than ever, because I don't care about all the other stuff. I think it's whatever. I've got to call what I'm seeing on the field. Now, he did audible to that Virgil call, and he's the one, that's according to Hackett, he audibled out of the play that was called, and he called his own, and he threw it to Virgil. But that's a problem, though. It's like it's Hackett's offense or Russ's offense. When Peyton Manning was here, whose offense was it?
Peyton.
Do we even need an offensive coordinator?
It was the OC.
Come on. Dennis Allen was the defensive guy. It was the Jets guy, the guy with the freaky eyes. Why am I thinking of? Why can't I think of his name? Oh, come on! It's
McCoy.
That was one. There was another one.
He left in 2012.
Yeah, that was like when Manning got there. He's like, no, this ain't gonna work.
Adam Gase. Oh gosh, I feel that.
Yeah, Adam Gase. How do we forget that name? Is it a weird day? Yeah, I mean,
and he went to Miami and then did bad things.
And then his eyes were.
And he went to New York and did also bad things.
Remember when he was in New York, like as he's doing his press conference, his eyes are going all over. Like, dude, NFL has ruined this man. Football has ruined this human. These poor guys go through so. Like, did you see Hackett today in his press conference? He's growing out. Like, he's got the stubble. He's kind of like he just looks stressed out. Normally, he's pretty clean.
Has he been at the facility all this time?
Probably, man. Drinking coffee. Question, you guys. You guys got a question? You guys got a question? We got a question.
Adam Gase's record with the Broncos was 25-7.
With the as
the OC.
As the OC. Well, yeah, I mean.
Bring him back?
I mean, he's Peyton, though.
What's he doing nowadays? Coaching soccer somewhere?
Where is Adam Gase? But that was with Peyton. That was a false hiring there. Like, I'm not going to hire Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator. What does Adam Gase do? What did he do those years? Hey, Peyton, I was thinking of running. We're going to run this. All right. Just throwing it out there.
Who do you have? Demaryius, Julius Thomas,
yeah.
Eric Decker.
Decker for a bit.
Wes Welker.
And then Emmanuel Sanders came in a little bit later. Wes Welker had a really good year with them. Now everyone's texting Adam Gase. Thank you. Man, when you screw up, when you get something right, nobody texts in and goes, spot on, Brady. You nailed it. But then when you say something wrong, yeah, when you get something wrong, it's like, hey, you are terrible at what you do.
Sorry we forgot Adam Gase. I think everyone else did.
Well, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning. The most forgettable human in the world. Dixon says, I think this is squarely one thing. Peyton overestimated Mr. Unlimited and obviously didn't do his due diligence. He seemed to have misjudged what Wilson had left and the real effect of his field arrogance and corniness.
Is it arrogance?
There's people that think that he's got this, like, I'm above it. I'm above it all.
I could see some of that. I feel that more with his off-the-field stuff, like the 3Es and the brand and all that. Like, I sell hats with my name on them. What do you do?
Hey, I know it's been a bad game, but where are my 3Es at? Where you guys want a hat?
And I've got plenty of them because they're not selling.
They're not selling. I still want to get one, though. I'm still getting one. I think it's going to be like one of those items that, you know, like remember Troy Tulowitzki when they screwed up his jersey? And it was Tulowitzki. Like, I want that jersey. I wish, because it was like the first 1,500 fans get a Troy Tulowitzki jersey, and they screwed it up, and it was Witzki. Like, that, I would have loved to have that jersey. The same thing with the hat. I want that number 3 hat, because whether this is a success or a colossal failure,
that, always have the
you have that hat of a really terrible time, but historical. I like to be a part of history, even if it sucks.
History is written by the winners, and sometimes the losers just get souvenirs.
Yes, they do. That's very well put. Gase's bigger accomplishment was the Tebow offense. Gase wasn't there with Tebow. Was he?
I don't think so. What I saw is 2013.
Because McCoy was with John Fox, wasn't he?
Yeah, McCoy left in 2012.
Yeah, because that was... I don't think Gase was there. Gase came in... Or was he a quarterback's coach or something? I don't know. We'll check on that.
Did Tebow have the offense like under his belt, or was it more just the system?
So that offense was Kyle Orton, right? It was pocket passer and just whatever Orton did. And then the crowd was like, dude, we're not coming to games if you don't put Tebow in. So they changed it to Tebow. And that became Miami. That became Florida. That became Florida. Where did he play college?
Florida.
That became Florida's. Why can't I think of anything today? They basically went to that tape and said, how did that work? You know, we're pulling guards every other play.
That was an Urban Meyer offense.
Yeah, so we're going to do exactly what they did. That offense looked nothing, and that was unsustainable. It's not sustainable in the NFL, and that's, you know, everybody that loved Tebow. It's like, this can't work on a regular basis. But, yeah, that was, Tebow is this way. We have to make the offense 100% about that. And if we do keep Tebow, it's an investment. Like, we have to draft linemen that are probably like Air Force linemen. Seriously, like, they run around a lot. They're moving. They're constantly pulling. Lead blocking downfield. Great running backs. Stud fullbacks. Tight ends. Probably not getting finesse wide receivers. You're getting big body wide receivers that can run with you. But yeah, that offense was like, how do we make Tim Tebow work? Are you find out of that Adam Gase thing? I want to know now. 405 texting. Does win-loss record impact value? Walton Penner Group is not losing money. So I think we'll have Hackett, we'll give Hackett another year. With a short leash. I don't know. You tell me. Win-loss record. How many no-shows? There was like 7,000 no-shows at the last home game. I guess a lot will tell you what happens this weekend.
So Gase, prior to when he joined the Broncos, he was an offensive assistant coach with the San Francisco 49ers. They went 7-9. He then joined Fox in Denver for 2013, 2014. Broncos won the Super Bowl after he left.
So he wasn't there with Tebow?
No.
Tebow was the 2011 year. That's how bad this offense is, Angel. We're talking about Tim Tebow, bro. We're talking about Tim freaking Tebow. That was a more exciting offense. You know why? Because it gave you something at the end, at least. It was awful. Listen, Tebow's offense was worse than Russell Wilson's offense for 90% of the game. But it was that 10%. If Russ could give us that 10%, oh yeah, fireworks with 5 minutes to go, let's do it, like he did against San Francisco.
Yes, yeah, so that 2011 staff, John Fox head coach, Mike McCoy OC, quarterback's coach was Adam Gase.
Okay, so he was on the staff. We got through that. He was on the staff. So Will County Swami wasn't too far off, but it was more working with Tebow, and Tebow was still pretty bad. So, like, I mean, 2 for 6 for a touchdown. His best numbers were the Steelers game. That was actually like human numbers, like human quarterback numbers.
That last play,
true, but he completed 24 passes in that game or something. 24 completions for Tim Tebow when we were looking at like 7 and 5. Was amazing. Eastside Chris, new Broncos mission statement. We've heard it 6 times, most likely 7. Next Monday, Broncos Nation, Broncos Country, let's click. Let's click?
No. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Nah. Texter, while all expected Russ to be the tide that raises all boats, and he has underperformed, and it also appears his off the field corniness and the effect on the team is more than just Russ being Russ. Peyton not only mortgaged the future in giving up the draft picks, he doubled down on handicapping the future with that contract. Those two things combined to make this a Peyton issue more than anything else. It was his job to get it right if he was giving up all of that, and he got it wrong. Of course, if Elway would have been worth a crap, you wouldn't have needed Peyton. LOL. From Dixon. Love, Dixon. No. Elway was wrong, was bad. At the end, the last 6 years, George Payton is gone south in a hurry. I mean, last year, we were like, whoa, George Payton doing a pretty good job. Draft picks looking good. Re-signing guys, moved on from Vaughn. That was gutsy, but I liked it. Now it's, the hell is this guy doing? Now we go back and we look at the history of these hires, and should Nathaniel Hackett have been hired? Like, let's forget the record right now. I mean, I was either or on it. I always tell you this, Angel. When they hire a new coach, you just kind of go, I don't know. Grain of salt. I got to take it with a grain of salt. I don't know how it's going to work. Now, I could have told you Urban Meyer wasn't going to work out. But a lot of these young guys, I don't know who the next Kyle Shanahan's going to be. Or the next Mike McDaniel. I don't know who that's going to be, so why not? Why not? Jeff Saturday? So you go, Nathaniel Hackett, maybe he fits into that mold. Sean McVay? So I just go, all right, maybe he knows something. But then when it's clear that he doesn't know something, they're 3-6, you start going back going, what was the reason he hired Nathaniel Hackett?
And he's from that Shanahan tree.
That's got to be it.
But even the system they run in Green Bay is different than what they do in San Francisco. And trying to bring that from Green Bay while also implementing stuff for Russ,
yeah,
maybe it's just not working.
Are we really doing this? First off, Weld County Swami, Kyle Orton played more than half of the season, bro. He says Denver averaged 19 points per game in 2011, so no, Russell Wilson's offense isn't better than Tim Tebow's. How much did they average in those last 5-6 games? That's the question you got to ask. Dig that one up. I can't believe we're doing this. This is how bad it is. We're going, no, Tebow is better than Russell Wilson. Tebow started against Miami. They scored 18 in overtime. They scored 10 against Detroit. They scored 38 against Oakland. Wow. 17 against Kansas City, 17 against New York, 16 against San Diego, 35 against Minnesota, 13 against Chicago, 23 against New England, 14 against Buffalo, 3 against Kansas City. What is that average? We're going to do that at the break. 28 minutes after the hour. We'll get to the bottom of this. Tebow or Russell Wilson? That's a good poll question tomorrow. Who would you rather have a quarterback? Tim Tebow in his prime or Russell Wilson now? Russell Wilson in his prime is by far, but Russell Wilson now. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, I didn't wake up and think we're going to do a 2022 roster compared to the 2011 roster. Whose offense was worse? Well, statistically wise, the Broncos were, you're right, the average did hold up. Even with the Orton six games in, the Broncos averaged 18 points per game with Tim Tebow's offense. So we're saying, okay, is it the offense was better or Russell Wilson was better? Who's better, Russell Wilson or Tim Tebow, right? Like Tim Tebow in his prime or Russell Wilson right now? That's a ridiculous question.
It's tough. I'm watching Tim Tebow highlights,
dude,
in our spare time.
It was so bad.
Just comparing it to what I see now from the Broncos, I want this. I want the little screenplays.
That's because
to know Sean Marino.
He would run and do crazy things. He could do them. Russ isn't doing those.
Do you think he's trying to get away from that?
Yeah.
In his career?
I think he wants to play until he's 40, so he's like, I don't want to get out and run. But here's the thing, man. Like, is Hackett calling an offense that's lending itself to his skill set? That's the thing. Like,
well, it doesn't seem like there's any identity at all.
There's no identity because
you're not seeing quarterback design plays.
No.
You're not seeing...
Where's the read option?
Right.
Why don't we do a read option? That would work. It worked once. It worked five more times.
It was a 50-50 shot at works because you're either going to get tackled or you're going to get a big gain.
Or a read pass option. I mean, come on. There's things we could not. You know, they tried the option to the fullback earlier in the year, and that was a disaster.
What happened to the tight ends?
Greg Dulcich had one catch.
It seems like Russell doesn't want to hit the middle of the field.
He hated throwing to tight ends in Seattle. But we thought that was a Seattle thing, not a Russ thing. Now it's looking like it's a Russ thing. They use the tight ends early, and then they go away.
Well, Dulcich just disappeared after the Jags game.
Yeah. One catch for him. Look at the depth chart, though, for the Broncos in 2011. Obviously, Tebow. 12 touchdowns, 6 picks. But he ran for 660 yards and 6 touchdowns. But they had Willis McGahee. Do you remember Willis McGahee that year? He had almost 1,200 yards rushing. Give me a guy like that today. I beg for it. Spencer Larson was the fullback. You had Eric Decker, Eddie Royal, and Demaryius Thomas. Royal was fading out at that point, though. Like, I think he had like 8 catches or something, so he was on his way out. But Demaryius Thomas was there. Your offensive line, Ryan Clady, Zane Beatles, J.D. Walton, Chris Cooper, Orlando Franklin. That was his rookie season. That line was way better. You had a way better roster, which is why do you think number 18 wanted to come here? He looked at the same thing we're looking at right now. Demaryius Thomas is a freak of nature, man. That guy's good. Look at that offensive line. Boise State Bronco, Ryan Clady. Stud.
Julius Thomas was a rookie.
Yeah.
Von Miller was a rookie.
Yep. That was his rookie year. At the time, you had Elvis Dumervil on the team. You had DJ Williams. You had Champ Bailey. But you had some players. These were good teams. Ryan Clady was a first-team All-Pro that year. Willis McGahee was a Pro Bowler that year. Who's a Pro Bowler? Elvis Dumervil, Von Miller. Von Miller was a Pro Bowler. Champ Bailey was a Pro Bowler. Brian Dawkins was on that roster. He was a Pro Bowler.
Chris Harris Jr., also a rookie on that team.
Yeah. How many Pro Bowlers do they have on this roster now? Justin Simmons, Patrick Surtain?
I'd say it's just Patrick.
Probably not, because Justin hasn't played that much.
Enough.
So Patrick Surtain, is that it? That's it.
It's all the Broncos social media team is sharing. It's just Patrick Surtain.
Because they know. You can't even spin the rest. Right now, comparison. Cortland Sutton versus Demaryius Thomas. Who are you taking?
Demaryius.
Anyone else as a wide receiver or... Eric Decker.
I would take Decker over Judy.
Yeah. Willis McGahee over any of these hodgepodge running, not Javonte Williams, he's out, but any of these hodgepodge running backs we have. Willis McGahee.
Can't be worse.
1,200 yards that year. I'd take No'Shawn Marino over anybody on this roster, too. I love No'Shawn. This offensive line or the Broncos offensive line?
Yeah.
Pretty obvious there. Tight end, Daniel Fells, and then... That was Julius Thomas's rookie year. Yeah, I think we'd still go Julius when he was with the Broncos. On defense, that was a good defense, dude. They weren't, I mean, they might be just as good. I don't know. But they had some players. Elvis Dumervil, Von Miller, TJ Williams, Joe Mays was good. Champ Bailey was still good. Andre Goodman had a decent year that year. He was older. Brian Dawkins, Quentin Carter. They had some players. They were a better roster. You could say the offense was better. I don't think the offense, it scored more, but it had better players. Put those players in this system today, you're better. Better offensive line, better running game, better receivers. You have a bad roster.
Better coaches?
That was
John
Fox. John
Fox, Mike McCoy, and
yeah,
Dennis Allen.
I'll take John Fox any day of the week over Nathaniel Hackett.
Dennis Allen or Evero?
Ooh. I'm going Evero right now because that's what's in front of me. Wait. Tebow threw for more touchdowns and less games than Wilson has this year? What did I say he had?
15 or was it?
Tebow had 12 touchdowns and 6 picks. What's Wilson's numbers? Dun, 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 dun. I got 7 touchdowns and 5 picks.
Yikes. Were those just passing touchdowns for Tebow?
No.
Okay.
No. That's all together. Those were passing touchdowns. Sorry. Yes, those were passing touchdowns. He rushed for 6.
Wow. So 18 and 6 overall. I don't think Russell's run past 10 yards this season.
Does John still have Tebow's number on speed dial, I think?
I don't know. I think he's with the SEC Network.
Has he got some years of eligibility left?
He might. He was on the Jags last year in training camp, so.
Look at this. This is karma, Angel. This is karma. You know, when Peyton Manning was picked up, we hadn't started doing the show yet. We were getting close. But I was like, this is a great, obviously, great move. I had people calling and emailing because I do sports reports and I'd come on to different shows and talk about it before I was doing the show. And they'd email me and stuff and say, this is ridiculous. Elway owed it to Tebow. Should have kept him. And I was like, on the air, I'm like, this, you Broncos fans, you Tebow fans are insane. You are idiotic fans. You don't understand. This isn't going to work. Peyton Manning or Tim Tebow, you're out of your mind. You're illogical. And I said a bunch of other bad things. This is karma coming back at me because I would have said the same thing. Russell Wilson and Tim Tebow, you're out of your mind. Now we're seriously going, Tebow that year was probably better.
Tebow mania.
Tebow that year was better. Tebow mania.
He created a whole movement of Tebowing.
Hey, Russ created a movement.
That's true.
Let's ride. Tebowing?
Were you
let's
making
ride.
Fun of Tebow for kneeling, though?
50% were. 50% were in love with it.
I liked it back then.
It was, this is 90% Broncos country can't stand Russell Wilson right now. Tebow mania was 50-50. You either hated him, and you kind of deep down were like, God, not again, is he going to pull? He's going to do it. Well, good job, the Broncos won. Now I got to hear Aunt Susan talk about how great of a guy he is again. Yeah, I had Tebow, I just love him.
He came and spoke to our church group.
You know, he was 2 for 7 for 17 yards in the first half. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's a great guy, and they won. But the defense was good. Yeah, but he willed that to him. What? He gave the way he is working with them. Aunt Susan, stop. I don't even have a Susan. What? Who are you? Where am I? Why am I here? That was 90% of the conversations. I need to get different friends. 41 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You were kind of getting into some Tebow mania back there, huh?
I used to love Tebow.
He was a fullback that could kind of throw.
Back then, I wasn't an NFL fan. Living in Alabama, it's all college football, but even I was like, this Tebow guy's fun.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. It was fun. The fan base was what was annoying. If it wasn't for the fan base.
Oh, now you're blaming the fans.
That's why he was annoying. I always said, I was like, it's not really Tebow. I'm a believer and all that, so I like that kind of talk. It was the fan base that would just be like, oh, did you see Tim Tebow won this weekend? You mean the Broncos? Well, yeah, but that's the only reason I watch. And that's what I got annoyed by. We had the Mitch Unrein show at that point. I was doing the Mitch Unrein show the next year, actually. And he was on that Tebow team. And he was on the Manning team. And he would tell me, he's like, dude, defensively, we'd bust our ass. You know, we'd be playing so well. And at the end of the game, some magic would happen, and Tebow got all the glory. And there we sat in the locker room after holding a team to 13, 10 points, whatever. And none of the media would come up and talk to us. And that's the team that still had Champ Bailey on there. Von Miller was on that team. There was magic there. There was. And that's how far we've come. We are comparing 2022 to 2011. One of the weirdest times in my Broncos fandom was 2011. But you made the playoffs.
You won a playoff game.
And you won a playoff game. And Demaryius Thomas, God rest his beautiful soul, one of the most memorable Broncos moments in Broncos country history. It was that stiff arm across the middle, running for a touchdown. It's bad, though. Well, County Swami, this would have earned you Top Text Tuesday, by the way. Fact, Russ has more bathrooms in his house than touchdowns thrown this year.
That is a fact.
How many has he thrown?
Six.
Six? Seven. So he's how many bathrooms?
At least seven.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need that much?
One for every room.
Two kids and a wife.
I mean, I wish I had a bathroom on every room, like in not just every floor, but every section of the house.
That's That's a lot of bathroom.
Yeah, but then you just get up and go, I'm gonna go over there.
You have to use specific bathrooms for specific things? I can only shower in that bathroom.
Yep. This is TV watching.
This is my brushing teeth bathroom.
Yeah, they wouldn't get as dirty probably. That's just only brush your teeth there. Only twos go in there. That's the onesie bathroom.
That's the bathroom, and that's the shower.
Yes. Oh, this offense is making us talk about bathrooms and Tim Tebow. Memories I thought would go away forever, but they've resurfaced in my brain, and I'm like, I'm begging for 2011.
Can't tell the Broncos story without that year.
That's why some say he should be in the Ring of Fame.
That's bold.
It's very bold. And no, he shouldn't be. But those of you, and you know who you are, those hooligans that like to use the, if you can't tell the story of the NFL or the team without that guy, then he should be in your Ring of Fame or Hall of Fame. It's not true.
I mean, the stadium is only so big. You can only fit so many names.
But you can tell the story. Like, dude, Chad Kelly is part of the Broncos story. He does not need to be in the Ring of Fame. He's part of that story now, the Halloween party. We'll all remember that. You can tell the Broncos story, but you need him in there because that was a weird thing that happened. He shouldn't be in the Ring of Fame.
About Teddy?
In the Ring of Fame? No.
Drew?
No.
I mean, Drew kind of...
A guy can dream, but no.
What if he comes back in like 5 years?
Yes!
Contract is up.
Let's go!
And he's like new and improved Drew. He's ready to go.
The new improved Buzz Lightyear. The one from the new movie they made. Not the toy version of Buzz Lightyear, but the actual guy that he was based off of.
That's a story the NFL could write.
That's a story the NFL could write. All right, 150 the time. Let's wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Way to text here. You can tell the history without Tebow. If they win the Super Bowl that year, then yes, he should be. No, Tebow's 100%. Go read 100 Things a Broncos Fan Must Know Before He Dies by Brian Howell. It's a great book. Brian Howell, our Brian Howell. Tebow is one of those things. So, there you go. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Okay, tonight, the New York Knicks, 7-7, paying a visit to the Mile High City. The Denver Nuggets, 9-4, without the Joker. He is entering health and safety protocols. I don't know if is that COVID? I don't know. Bones Highland was in there, but you just read a tweet from Bones.
From Harrison Wind.
From Harrison Wind.
But Bones has been elevated to questionable. Aaron Gordon also listed as questionable. Bones posted on his Instagram, we back.
So...
let's get busy.
Let's get busy. What's the lineup tonight, then? That's what's interesting.
Jamal, Michael, I assume Aaron Gordon, that's just because he's questionable.
Yeah, you said so he's questionable.
Bruce, and then DeAndre Jordan.
You would start him? So, Jamal, KCP, Porter...
Oh, I forgot KCP.
Yeah, I did too. I forgot him when we were talking. How would we forget about KCP? I'm not trying to mean this in a negative way. He's kind of been forgettable so far. He's been solid, though. Not bad.
He hasn't been awful.
He hasn't been awful. He hasn't been great. He's been just kind of a guy. We'll see if he can step up and be more than just kind of a guy. Tonight, can the Nuggets beat the Knicks? I guess we'll find out. Going to be a fun Wednesday night for you, as always. We got the Nerd Show, Fat Guys at the Movies, Knicks, Snacks, all that coming up here on 103.1 at 1310. KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.